Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
And John, 929 FM ESPN. Happy last day of April to you. April 30th, yes, it's a beautiful day. Outside, it truly is. I'm joined by our fantastic executive producer, Brad Carson, on the ones and twos. And boy, did he turn the tables on us last night. Picked all the favorites to win and went 2-1 last night against the spread with Denver, the only favorite that didn't come. I see what you're doing. I see what you're doing, Brad. You're trying to make us flip this segment to tail Brad Carson.
I think that was
your second winning night throughout the postseason here.
Yeah, and usually we started this bit because I was losing so much. It's actually a couple things. One, I think it's a lesson for John about how gambling always comes around. And two, that I'm going to have integrity with this bit. Like I was picking
You're
with
trying it,
like I'm not.
Yeah,
I don't want it to be like it's this fake thing where I'm just trying to pick the losers.
No, you're
here.
Trying to pick winners. You're
I'm legitimately giving. And I did point out with the Nuggets game, which they won the game, as you pointed out. I went 2-1 because they didn't beat the spread. They had to win that game at the buzzer. So it was actually an entertaining, games last night with the Thunder closing out, and I enjoyed the basketball.
Really interesting games last night, particularly the end of that Lakers-Denver game.
Yes.
When you found out that the Lakers were going to do their exit interviews right there in Denver. They were done.
So that is it.
They're not going back to L.A. to do exit interviews. They're done. You know what I'm saying? LeBron's ready to hit that
final
vacation
statement.
Before we head over to the Olympics, obviously. So they got that all done last night. And obviously, LeBron was asked about his future with L.A. We've seen some reports out there now about L.A.'s perhaps willingness to draft his son.
Saw that.
In the hopes of keeping him. We know LeBron's got the player option, so he's always got options. I just can't see him anywhere else at this point, but the Lakers have certainly got answers. Answers they've got to come up with because there's a bunch of questions. Darvin Ham being right at the top of that list certainly seems like, from the reports you read, his days are numbered after 2 years. We also had yesterday ESPN radio host Paul Feinbaum. He was in town, and we love Paul. I've had him on the show, friend of the show, obviously, friend of John Martin. They're really close. White Station grad.
Your alma mater.
That's Spartan pride, all of us. John, too, as well. He had some really positive things to say about the Memphis program yesterday, about football coach Ryan Silverfield, and a little bit of a turnaround. A little bit of a turnaround. I don't know if you remember where he originally had criticized Ryan Silverfield. It was right here on this show. A couple of years ago. His point then was that Memphis needed to make a change. But Ryan Silverfield had something, Paul Feinbaum had something different to say about Ryan Silverfield yesterday. He also weighed in on the potential restart of that Memphis-Arkansas basketball series. So there was nothing Memphis sports, essentially, especially University of Memphis, that Paul Feinbaum didn't comment on yesterday. We'll talk about that. Travis Kelce, Brad, you'll be happy to know. He's got a little bit more money to add to that joint account with Taylor Swift.
Are they combining checking accounts? Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Yeah.
They say happier marriages. The outcomes are better when you do that.
I don't know if you've seen TMZ recently, but there's stories about the two of those. Mm-hmm. But Travis really does seem completely smitten at this point.
I've seen a couple of them.
He was kissing in this latest video. So we'll talk about the money he's got. It's going to make him the highest paid tight end over the next 2 years. And while he's getting a little long in the tooth, he proved last year in the postseason, we thought he had lost a step. I'll be honest with you. I thought he had lost a step, but he stepped it up in the postseason. Also remember last year and helping the Chiefs win the Super Bowl, he surpassed Jerry Rice for most receptions in playoff history. So he is no doubt a GOAT, especially when it comes to that tight end position, and he's getting paid for it. It just seems like the Chiefs, man, can do whatever they want. You know, whether it doesn't seem like they're affected by salary cap or anything like that. It just seems like the Chiefs can always find a way to get it done. We'll talk about all that, but before we do, let me set up the show 11:30 or so. We'll talk to Grind City Media's Jessica Benson, of course, host of the Jessica Benson Show with C.J. Hurt, and host of the Grizzlies pre- and post-game shows right here on 929. We'll talk to her about the playoffs, LeBron's future, the upcoming Minnesota-Denver series.
Oh, yes.
That's fascinating. I mean, you heard me, you know, slobbing all over Anthony Edwards yesterday, just how much I love his game. But that Minnesota team, number one defensively in the league this year, obviously. And I just don't think they're going to be dispatched like some inexperienced team this year. Obviously, when that first playoff series with Anthony Edwards, at least his first playoff series, they win. But I think this one's going to be fun. Denver's a 5.5-point favorite. That series is going to start on Saturday. Got an early line on that one. But I, like I said, we'll talk to Jessica Benson about that, how she handicaps the series. At noon, we'll do the rundown like we usually do. Plenty of news to get to. Around 12:40 or so. Brad, I'm moving you. I'm moving Fade Brad Carson from 11:40 yesterday to 12:40 today. I'm trying to shake you up.
Yeah, after and I don't going think I should do one more last research, night, though.
You're going to be talking to me, so you don't have time to research before the but at 12:40, we'll do the segment that's sweeping the nation, Fade Brad Carson, with three game fives on the slate tonight. You got 76ers, Knicks. That's 3-1 Knicks, obviously. Magic, Cavaliers, and Pacers, Bucks. Knicks and Pacers can close out tonight. And then at 1:25... very eager to do this. He's been fantastic for us on Tuesdays. We'll talk to Odyssey NBA insider Nick Friedell and do a deep dive again into the playoffs, what the Lakers are going to do. We'll get Nick's thoughts on that Minnesota-Denver series that's coming up on Saturday. Like we said, that one should be good. So lots to get to, but I wanted to start kind of where, you know, the one game that you missed on yesterday in terms of covering. Denver did take care of business last night. Jamal Murray there at the end getting the game winner, his second of the series. I will say, it is crazy to me when we look at this Lakers situation and say, man, that's a mess. What are they going to do? You know, it's LeBron and AD, and frankly, they didn't get enough from the other guys. So do you reconstruct the roster around them? Do you go try to make a move for a Donovan Mitchell? Like, you know, with the Lakers, it just right now, it's a bunch of questions, like we said. All that said, man, they led in every game of the series at halftime. So it's not like, even though, you know, they lose the series 4-1, obviously, it's LeBron James's earliest playoff exit ever. They were in the series, weirdly. Just now, last week I compared it to Jason from Friday the 13th. Didn't matter how far off the Lakers ran, you know, from Denver, like Jason, Denver would walk them down. They just, again, when you've won, had as much success against a team as Denver has over the last couple of years, 12-1, I think is close to the record. You know, you feel a certain way about a team that no matter what they throw at you, you're going to find a way, and Denver certainly looked like that. But back to the Lakers, that was LeBron's 21st season that he wrapped up, 39 years old, obviously, 30 points, 9 rebounds, 11 assists. And, you know, asked afterward how he's going to, you know, approach his decision about year 22. You know, McMenamin's always asking him the retirement question, those kinds of things. Dave McMenamin, obviously the ESPN reporter that covers the Lakers. LeBron said, I don't have an answer. To be honest, I haven't given it much thought, although we know that he certainly has. Asked if he considered whether Monday's game could be his last with the Lakers, he refused to answer. Smiled, said, I'm not going to answer that.
Right.
You know, they point out how LeBron has gotten until June 29th to either opt into that final year of the contract, it's $51.4 million, or become an unrestricted free agent. Before I get into what I think, you see any reason for him to leave? He's in L.A. Kids are, you know, he's got a couple of young ones that are still coming up, although obviously Bronny now, who may, I mean, we saw it, I think it was Shams that reported it, he may be playing with dad, but you've got, you know, you've got the other kids that are younger, they're settled in L.A., do you think trying to chase, you know, that fifth championship, that LeBron James would really entertain the idea, seriously entertain the idea of leaving AD's side, essentially, and trying to do it somewhere else.
That's the question, and I think the answer is no for him. He's got
too much pull in L.A. right now.
You run the franchise, sort of. I mean, it's a family business still with Genie. So you get to make a lot of these decisions and kind of control your own destiny. Plus, you have a 50-plus million-dollar player option for next year. So you've got all the control. I think the bigger problem is on the other foot, which is what the morning show was talking about this morning, the Lakers. This is not ideal for them next year with LeBron coming back. And because I don't know what other weapons they can add to him.
Well, I think I've said for a while now that Jeannie Buss made a mistake committing like this to LeBron, because in the end it feels like it's only going to produce the one, bubble title.
Right.
I sort of had a change of heart last night, and especially, again, seeing how close this series was. Jamal had to hit two game winners. They led it every game at halftime, we talked about. Sort of have a change of heart in just the sense that when you're this in deep with him at this point, don't you have to ride it out?
You just double down and you stay with it.
And essentially, it seems like that's what they're saying in terms of, let's talk about it real quick. We've discussed the Bronny situation.
Yeah.
First of all, is he even ready for the NBA? After having the heart condition, joins the USC team a little late, gets there and doesn't have the kind of season certainly that would look anything like he once was, which was mocked as a lottery pick. You question whether he's going to be drafted at all. He is obviously testing the waters. That's my point is, Bronny ain't ready for the NBA.
No.
But if it's to keep LeBron, committed, if it's a 15th man on a roster or whatever, Bronny would be,
right?
How much does it really affect LA's chances at getting another title? It really doesn't. My point is that you've always got a guy, it seems like, on a lot of rosters, I'd point to Derrick Rose here.
That's fair.
That you're okay with being on the roster for whatever reason, and with them this committed to LeBron, who it's crazy that at 39 he's coming off, he was one rebound short of a triple-double, but it does feel like, and Lord knows you got to avoid Denver, and I know, I can hear you right now, the West is better, Jason. They're falling behind, actually. Can't you tell in the 4-1 result? Are they going to get closer by letting LeBron walk? Like putting everything around AD, who, by the way, played 78, 77 games this year? AD was there this season. And I suppose you could tell yourself, we'll rebuild around him, move on from LeBron. But again, that gets you further away from a championship. Even in this latter stage of his career, you're still closer with him, and it almost feels like you've got to ride it out. Back to Bronny, if it keeps LeBron committed, I think you've got to do it if you're the Lakers, just
right.
So you ride this thing out. Yeah. It's easy for me to say, no, move off LeBron, rebuild. But if, again, with Anthony Davis, there are no promises in this West that you're any closer to a title. So you've probably got to ride it out and see where this – because essentially it is. At 39 years old, still be putting up these numbers. It's greatness. It may never, come close to a finals again, but I think because you are in bed, because you're in so deep with them, you've probably got to ride this out. Now, one of the questions I think is D'Angelo Russell. He has a player option for next season at $18.7 million. So if we're talking about supporting cast around LeBron and AD, the folks that actually could help them get closer next year, I don't know if bringing D'Angelo Russell back is all that smart. And again, that's a player option for him. But you saw him earlier in the series sitting outside of the huddle. Now, he did come back, hit some big shots for them, and helping them get the one win. But, whether it's him, I'll be honest with you, I thought he's a little bit further along in his career. I thought he had matured more by now. But you know what he said last night afterwards?
What he said?
This stood out to me. Hell of a year by D'Angelo. Bro was actually talking about himself in the third person. Yes, like he's LeBron.
On,
I mean, dude, we reserve that for the max guys if you want to, and most of them don't do that. He said, hell of a year by D'Angelo. Through the ups and downs, through all the whatever you want to call it, it never bothered me. I always kept myself sane. When I look at my phone, my family, my friends, my circle were texting me and telling me how proud they are of me. So for me, that's all I need. I don't need anything else. That's a dude. What are we talking? Yes.
That sounds very selfish.
So again, he's got the player option here, but... that was weird this year with D'Angelo Russell, and he was too hit or miss. And frankly, I can't tell whether or not he's truly engaged. And so Lakers here have got to, you know, shake some things up. But I think ultimately you have to go back with what you've committed to, even though it's only produced the one title with AD and with LeBron. I think AD is signed up through 27-28. Right now, all he was saying last night, I'm just waiting on LeBron. And which at this point, because AD knows, to
right,
that this ain't going to look, you know, you go out and bring in some other superstar, let LeBron walk. This thing is probably no closer again. His best shot is with LeBron, and so you had AD saying he's just waiting on the decision. I think the decision's already made. I think the Lakers have talked this through. You remember the it was really pre-trade talk between Golden State and the Lakers, and it got shut down, right? The Lakers didn't want any part of it. They've pretty much told LeBron we're all in. And I've had to come to grips with the decision that, you know, I've sort of been about blow this up because we've seen it. I mean, how much further can they get? Like we said, the West, there's been a changing of the guard. Minnesota, OKC have come up. Denver's still here. They're knocking you out. You know that firsthand. They absolutely own you. But I do think that, again, I've had to come around to this. This gives them their best shot. All that said, disappointing season for the Lakers, because if it's anything short of finals or title, it's disappointing for LeBron. But can you believe this dude is still playing like this at 39?
It's incredible.
You know, if I'm on the Michael Jordan side of the GOAT debate that we all, now we love to hate that debate. But there is no denying that Mike did nothing like this. Like the longevity. And listen, I can watch LeBron and I cringe when he does the, you know, oh, my ankle. It feels like, or literally last night he was jumping up and down like a spoiled child on some of the calls. It's part of the reason why the Lakers each year are in the leaders, among the leaders in free throws, because he gets awarded so many foul calls. So there's a part of me that can't stand, but there's the other part of me that has to respect the greatness. Mike never did anything like this where he's still this effective. And so for all those reasons, I think you got to ride it out. As far as Denver, Jamal Murray's never been an all-star. Yeah. And I had to double-check that again, you know, last night, because there's stories out there today about, you know, why don't we hold him up in a higher light? Well, that's part of it. I mean, Jamal Murray is really, you can, you know, the NBA's got that Chris Rock, you know, it's a thing, talking about the playoffs. It's really a thing for Jamal. It's where he steps up. We certainly saw it in the bubble as well before he got hurt last night. He hits the game winner, his second of the series, averaged 24 points for the series, even though he only shot 40%, but in the end was able to make a play. You know who the slick MVP was, though, to me, for Denver? It was Michael Porter Jr.
Yeah, he scored 26 last night.
He was good all series long.
Yeah.
So he's Michael a really Porter good player. Jr., who's going through some things family-wise.
I'd say.
The gambler. Jonte banned, but also his other brother, I believe, is headed to jail.
Oh man!
For an incident, you know, a traffic ended up being an awful thing. I think someone died, if I'm not mistaken. He's got
stuff going.
Issues
stuff.
With both other brothers going on right now that he's had to sort of. Well, there's no sort of to it. He's had to compartmentalize, and in doing so, he's clearly done it, dude. That guy who we once questioned, you know, because of the back injuries coming out of college, would he ever be an effective NBA player? Would he ever live up to his potential? 22.8 points, 8.4 rebounds for the series. The most impressive thing, though, was that he shot 48.8%.
Yeah, the shooting percentage,
He went 20 of 41 from three in the series. So as much as we talk about Jokic, and I didn't even say his name. I mean, the guy's he's a walking triple-double. He's the MVP again this season. What would be third time in 4 years if, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's got, you're going to get some votes for them being once, but I still think that Jokic is the MVP. As much as we talk about him and Jamal Murray, Michael Porter Jr. was easily the big three. It was part of a big three. He played that well this series. There was a time where I didn't think he was going to pan out. You know, I didn't think Michael Porter Jr. and others have talked about this too, was the kind of, you know, had the dog in him, would be the kind of guy that would do the glue work and get on the floor, rebound if his shots weren't falling. But he proved a lot to me over this series, and I think to a lot of people, there's no question about it. He is, again, if you're looking ahead towards Saturday and this, what should be a fantastic series against Minnesota, you know, the three seed, Michael Porter Jr., I feel like, is one of those guys that's going to determine that. You know, whether is he going to be that effective? Basically, Lakers couldn't stop him. Is Minnesota going to allow him to do that? Remember, Minnesota is the number one defensive team in the league. You got Jaden McDaniels, got a bunch of guys that you can throw at him. If Michael Porter Jr. is playing like this, I don't think Denver will have any problem. You know, maybe it's 4-2. I do think Minnesota's going to at least get a couple of games here. But if Michael Porter Jr. plays like this, I think Denver is moving on. I don't know that we're talking enough about his emergence this season at a time where you could absolutely be distracted. Like with everything, again, that's going on with his family, you know, Faye Brad Carson came off us talking about the Jontay Porter story. Yeah. I mean, it was national. Again, he got banned. So, again, I've got to credit Michael Porter Jr. as a guy I didn't see stepping up in the way that he did in this playoff series.
Well, and I think he's the X factor if you look at this Minnesota series they've got coming up because of the shooting. Because you've got, you know, inside play, and they're going to be able to match up with you inside.
If you're Minnesota, you cannot let him do that. Yeah, you know Jokic is going to get his. And in the four meetings that they split, by the way, 2-2 this year, Jokic was fantastic, averaged 33 points. Even though they've got Gobert, got Karl-Anthony Towns did miss three of those games. Jokic got pretty much mm-hmm. he pretty much got whatever he wanted. You're not going to be able to stop him from getting what he wants.
You can't have him going off outside.
And Jamal Murray, listen, you know, while he did hit the two game winners, he did not shoot that ball well against the Lakers. Mm-hmm. It's Michael Porter Jr. that you can't yep. let do what he did against the Lakers. They had no answer for him, or else you will be in a series that could go seven yeah. games. You know, I do not rule out the possibility of Minnesota beating Denver.
I don't.
I really don't.
No, I think it'll be a competitive series.
Listen, Minnesota's still got things to learn. You know, mm-hmm. making a Western Conference Finals, making a run is a completely different thing. But this team seems poised and prepared. Mm-hmm. They were supposed to be too young for this, or at least at this point in Anthony Edwards' career, haven't had it figured out yet. The other part about it, you know, we didn't talk about it yesterday. You know, Chris Finch got to have surgery.
He got hurt on the sideline.
Patella tendon, I think, Yikes. Ended up getting torn. So whether or not they'll have him on one of those scooters
and
or whatever.
He's a good coach. I mean, everybody talks about Chris Finch now.
He has taken what I thought after they made the trade for Gobert was a roster that was flawed. Like, again, we talked about it. Gobert, not a winner in the playoffs. He believed in it.
Yep.
Conley, the GM there, Chris Finch believed mm-hmm. in bringing Rudy Gobert over and really the possibility that they could be a top defense in the league.
Yeah.
And I'll be damned if he ain't turned it into that. I mean, it's been pretty impressive to see, you know, just how far Minnesota feels like they've grown and matured. Mm-hmm. I mean, at one time we're questioning Karl-Anthony Towns and his motivation. Are you more of a me guy than anything else? But whether it's Anthony Edwards and sort of falling in behind him or Chris Finch and sort of the way he's doled out roles and put it all together. It's come together in a way that I don't think Denver, again, is going to be just rolling here on its way through these semifinals, these Western Conference semifinals. I really think Minnesota is going to have something for them. Again, though, back to the, I'm with you, X factor. Mm-hmm. Michael Porter Jr. is playing like that, then it could be a lesson for Minnesota. As far as the other games last night, there were games you hit, Brad. You hit the nail on the head in terms of the Celtics Heat. Celtics win 102-88, and then obviously the Thunder closed out with a 97-89 win over the Pelicans. Now that Celtics Heat series will move to Game 5, but it certainly feels over. They were up for 20 for most of that game. I guess late. I was watching late, Brad. I'll be honest with you to see if they because they got it down. I want to say to about 15, maybe 14.
Yeah.
15 might have been the closest. The number was 10.5.
Yeah.
Miami had kind of cut it. Hero started finally mm-hmm. making some shots. All that said, Boston controlled it. And I gave Jason Tatum some grief last week for not being aggressive. Did you see last night that dunk he had on, I think it was Caleb Martin, and screamed at him after he did it?
I did. And so that's the kind of
he has responded in the way. It wasn't just us chirping about it here on this show. It was nationally. It was especially up in Boston. He needed to be more aggressive, and I think he has. Derek White, though. 38 points.
From the get-go, he was awesome.
That's another guy we probably don't hold up enough X-factor as one of the – he has become one of the best two-way – not two-way contract, but playing on both ends of the floor. Two-way players in the league.
That's fair.
You know, he was chasing around Hero all night and then knocking down three-pointers, 38 points from him. He was absolutely fantastic. That said, Porzingis, though, got hurt in that game. Could not return. Now, they called
Shocker.
It –
Shocker.
They called it calf tightness, I think.
Yeah.
Now, the initial reports seem to be they feel like he's going to be okay. The Celtics may be in a position now going into Game 5, leading 3-1, where you can sit him.
Rest.
It doesn't sound like it's something that's going to affect him long-term, like they're overly worried about it. Sounds like I guess we'll get more imaging today, all those kinds of things. But if they don't have him going forward, again, as bad as this East has been, They may be able to get through. But in terms of beating a Denver or anybody else from the West, I think in the finals.
I think
you need Porzingis out there. He has been good for them this season. He certainly was. And, of course, they bit the bullet and decided to make that move. Also go get Drew Holiday, move off from Marcus Smart. For the most part, it's worked. Real quick, before we get to Jessica Benson, did you happen to see at the end of that game, toward the end, where Bam Adebayo fouls Jason Tatum after – right, it's a flagrant one that was issued to Bam, but it was after a foul had already been called. Bam and Spoelstra's point was that Jason Tatum had flopped, but actually it had come down on Bam's foot.
Right.
You know that flagrant one. You put your foot in front, you know, on a guy in his landing space, and it's an automatic flagrant in most cases. Bam did that, but his point was that Jason Tatum had flopped. Van Gundy, who I love, Stan Van Gundy. His point was that what's Bam supposed to do? Just let him get off. Remember, this is after a foul's already been called. Jason Tatum is basically just taking a practice shot. And that was Van Gundy's point, was like, what's Bam supposed to do? Let Jason Tatum just take a practice shot? But not paying attention to what was clearly, and Bam, I don't think, meant to do it. I think that was clear. But what was clearly his foot coming down, his foot being right there in Jason Tatum's landing space. That was a flagrant, and I thought Van Gundy had it wrong. Spoelstra and you know, clearly frustrated, and they have been in this series. They're so shorthanded. But I just thought Van Gundy, who usually gets it right, I don't care if it's after the play's already dead, after a foul's been called. You can't go out there and mangle somebody else just because you want to. And no, this wasn't Bam intentionally hurting Jason Tatum, but Jason could have, you know, he turned that left ankle. It could have been worse. And again, it was just because Bam wanted to challenge what essentially was a no shot because the foul had already been called. I think it was Derek White that had earned the foul call. And so that usually Van Gundy's so on point, but I thought here he was off. And again, it was just more signs of how frustrating this must be for Miami when you're coming. I mean, again, for a lot of these teams, we've talked about the injury issues yesterday. When you're coming to the table without, you know, Butler, without Rozier, you just don't have all your weapons. Why does it feel like Tyler Hero and Duncan Robinson can't coexist at the same time?
It's like when
Tyler bursts on the scene, right?
Yep.
Then kind of fades away. Duncan Robinson steps up.
Yeah.
When Tyler's doing nothing, and now, you know, last Tyler's back, now there's no Duncan Robinson. Right. It's weird how one of them has to die for the other to go on. Anyway, I thought that, again, that Celtics series, they're in total control. There is no question about that. But, again, title hopes? Yeah.
They're deeper than you think, though, with Horford and Tillman, even if they needed him.
I didn't like Horford, who I believe is 37 years old, being pressed into service the way he was.
34 minutes.
As hard as he was because of the Porzingis injury, and that's what I'm talking about.
That's a
problem. The fortunate thing for the Celtics, again, is that they've got some time here where you can hopefully sit Porzingis. You're controlling this series so much, so well, that you should be able to sit Porzingis for the rest of it, I would think, and then still win the series. So we'll see what unfolds with that Porzingis injury. But in terms of their title hopes, I mean, it's big news. Hopefully for them, he's okay. It's just calf tightness, and there's not going to be any further damage. We'll talk to Jessica Benson of Grind City Media about the Celtics' chances of getting to the finals and how key that Porzingis injury is. We'll also obviously talk about the West. LeBron, that Minnesota-Denver series that we've talked about, we're excited about. We'll do all that.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan-favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Jessica Benson is host of the Jessica Benson Show with CJ Hurt at Grind City Media. Also host of the Grizzlies pre- and post-game shows. You can follow her on X at Jess Benson TV. Jess, I'm going to open this with a question about D'Angelo Russell, believe it or not, who, in after a losing effort last night as the Lakers are closed out, said, hell of a year by D'Angelo, humbly saying that. That was literally the quote from D'Angelo speaking in the third person. Has D'Angelo Russell earned the right to speak about himself in the third person? Has he reached that level of greatness?
I think it's so tough coming off of this playoff series to have that level of confidence. Also, I am never a fan of anyone talking about themselves in the third person.
Me either.
So let's be perfectly clear where I stand on that note. But it was so interesting, especially going into that final Grizzlies-Lakers game at the end of the regular season. I was talking to some of my friends who covered the Lakers regularly, and the conversation was about how solid D'Angelo Russell had been. And if you get that version of D'Lo going into the postseason, then there really was some belief that they could perhaps make it past whatever their first-round opponent would be if they made it out of the play-in series. And then he just didn't level up to that necessity for them. And so to come out with that, when I saw that quote, and actually was watching the Lakers exit interviews live last night, because that was a bizarre way to end the series and just not fly back to L.A. and, I guess, get them out of the way and start your vacations early. But it felt like the wrong tone, right? It felt tone deaf in that moment. But it's hard because it is something you would say, minus the third person piece, in an exit interview. Just the fact that it's happening right after you just lost the series that night, I think, made it feel even worse coming out and made it feel more like a joke to the rest of us.
I figured the decision to go ahead and do the exit interviews last night was probably LeBron's. He's probably ready to hit the vacation and then, I guess, head over to Paris for the Olympics. We're going to have a lot of guys ready early. You know how Penny always wants everybody by June. It looks like the Team USA is going to be able to gather early with so many guys out of bios eventually going to be out here soon. Steph Curry's already ready to go. All right, do you change anything in terms of, clearly the Lakers are committed to LeBron. They want him back. It's not time to blow this up, is it? With the way AD played, particularly in these playoffs, but also he was there for you all season long, with how, effective LeBron still is at 39 years old, as much as I want to say it's over, aren't they committed to have to sort of stick with it and then, fiddle around with the edge parts?
Oh, I completely agree with you. You're on this LeBron train until the end, God willing. Yeah, if you're the Lakers, then you will do whatever needs to be done to try to convince him to pick up that player option, and that probably will include drafting Bronny James, who is by no means ready to step on an NBA court, might never be ready to step on an NBA court. We don't know. I don't want to shut the door on that early, but we know where he stands as of now, and you will just try to make LeBron as happy as possible. But that has to be the most frustrating thing for the Lakers this year is, and I saw Darvin Ham's quote afterwards about, kind of putting their end of their season on health. But they were healthy. LeBron James and Anthony Davis played a ton of games. They were available all season. They were tremendous. And so it feels as if you had two great years from players who, in past seasons, have led you to think, if only they were healthier, maybe they could have gone further. This year they were. And so it feels a bit like a waste, but you can't reinvent the wheel right now. You're going to continue to see how long LeBron can defy age as we know it, and next year he will be 40 years old playing in the league. But as of now, I mean, you watched the fourth quarter of that game last night, and you're like, my God, like, how lucky are we to be able to witness LeBron be so great? And then for him, it's, how can I be so great and this team around me still fail? So you've already seen the, you know, the hit pieces on, I wouldn't say a hit piece, but the language around Darvin Ham and the mistrust there coming out. There was a big report in The Athletic this morning, and so I think a lot of the attention will turn towards Darvin Ham. I don't know if a coaching change necessarily fixes this. I think there's a lot of restructuring that needs to happen, but we all know how that works. Like, the coach is the first person who all attention and all eyes goes on. So I think that's probably the first domino we will see if it falls or not.
If you know, I had at one point, I'd said it out loud, I'd said it on the show, that LeBron needs to just let Bronny be Bronny and let him run his own race, you know. And frankly, after you know it better than anybody, you know, he joined that USC team and he wasn't the guy that it went clearly. I mean, you're coming off a heart condition, number one, but he wasn't close to the guy that at one point Gavoni had, you know, mocked as a lottery pick. Should he go and stay in college, transfer and whatever it is, and be your own man? Or is there a case to be made that, yeah, you know, Lakers will take you. You grow up in an organization where daddy's going to have his wing around you, and maybe you develop there. I'm kind of two minds on this, where I could see it working out. Mm-hmm. What do you think he should do? What do you think the kid should do?
He's one of one. Like, there is no other basketball player in this country who will have the exact experience of Bronny James being LeBron's son, because my first nature is, yes, of course he should go back to school and continue to develop. He is by no means ready, but you're LeBron James' son. So, yeah, I guess you do have the opportunity to go and have a similar learning curve, or the development side can come under LeBron with the Lakers. But then I'm with you. Like, go be your own man. Like, part of growing up is figuring it out on your own. You can't have your hand held your entire life. And I don't know. It's just such a bizarre, unique situation. It's hard for me to know what Bronny wants. I feel like we don't hear often, what does Bronny want in this situation? It's always been framed through the LeBron lens of it all. And I don't think we will ever maybe know what Bronny specifically wanted at this time, because I think there are so many forces at play that will ultimately lead him. And it really does feel as if it will lead him to the NBA or the G League next season.
We're, of course, talking with Jessica Benson, host of the Jessica Benson Show with CJ Hurt on Grind City Media. All right, on the other side, Jamal Murray didn't shoot the ball well this series, but boy, when it was, you know, time to step up, he hit, what, two game winners in this series. It's funny, he was getting beat up after the game. He walked over, you know, towards the crowds getting beat up. I'm like, who's security? It's his dad that's over there, and they're exchanging, you know, punches and everything else. Jamal Murray, it feels like we don't hold him up high enough. I know he's never been an all-star, but come playoff time, it always seems like he's, you know, when it counts, he's performing.
It really does. And I remember after the first game winner, that was his first career playoff game winner buzzer beater. Mm-hmm. And it felt like we had seen so many before. Like, I was convinced it was a Mandela effect situation, where I had made up that Jamal Murray had many game winners, but he hadn't. And now he's had two in this series, and he's so clutch, and he's exactly the person that you want teamed up with a Nikola Jokic, a greatest player in the world scenario, and having someone who's calm and cool and collective like Jamal Murray, and who can step up in these big moments. It's why the Nuggets just feel like such a juggernaut. And when you think about even the series with the Lakers, the craziest thing is that the Lakers led the Nuggets for, what, like 160-plus minutes in that series, and they still lost the series 4-1. And a huge piece of that is Jamal Murray. You throw in Michael Porter Jr.'s performance this series, I thought was really, really solid. Like, the conversation we had about D'Angelo Russell, they wanted him to be what Michael Porter Jr. was in this series for the Nuggets. And so you have a group that is so effective and has the ability to just constrict the life out of their opponents. And it sets up what I think is going to be a hell of a next matchup with the Minnesota Timberwolves, and I'm so psyched for it.
I'm with you completely. I'm going to ask you about that. You touched on the guy that it's funny. I mentioned to Brad, I think the most impressed I was is, you know, as good as Murray was in finishing those two games, Jokic is always playing an MVP level. It was Porter Jr., at a time where Wright brother just got banned from the league. And I just went and looked. It was like a week. It wasn't much long after where his other brother, who had played at the University of Denver, was just sentenced in like a fatal DUI crash. He's getting 6 years. So they, like, that family has got a ton going on. The potential to have a ton on your mind at a time where, you know, you've got to be locked in, was there for him. And he shot, you know, he goes 20 of 41 from three. I thought, you know, it was 23 points, 8.4 rebounds. I never saw him panning out like this. At the, you know, when they took him, you know, a lot of it considered a reach because of that back, but he has panned out in a way that, and it feels like, I almost want to say, Jess, that it feels like there might even be more for Michael Porter Jr., more than just role player, like maybe, you know, sort of reaching a big three status.
Yes, truly. And I think you pointing out everything that's going on with his family, to me, has been, obviously his health was always going to be, can he stay on the court? Can he actually play? But there was always kind of a mental piece of it that felt off as well.
Yep.
But he seemed so locked in. And I remember reading an article coming out of the All-Star break. I think he went to Cancun or Cabo, one of a tropical place over the All-Star break, and like really worked on his shot. And Michael Malone was saying he can go there every All-Star break because he came back a different dude. Like just completely locked in. The focus was different. The shot was different. And he's been tremendous for them the latter half of the season. And when you look at that three working like a big three, that is where it feels so solid for this Nuggets team, right? Like they are very much the team to beat. And yes, the Timberwolves have been impressive and everyone's falling in love with Anthony Edwards and how can you not? And he's electric. But it feels like he's about to go up against a buzzsaw potentially in the Nuggets.
That's, you know, that series will start on Saturday. How do you look at it? Well, how would you handicap in terms of Denver, Minnesota? What do you think happens?
So I really started believing in the Timberwolves in about late January. And at that point it was becoming more and more clear, number one defense for a reason. The amount of length that they have on that team, I think, is so huge. But I mean, Anthony Edwards himself, but then you have Jaden McDaniels and Nikhil Alexander Walker, and you get past them, and then, oh, look, it's Rudy Gobert and Karl Anthony Towns.
Yep.
And I do think it creates a matchup, an interesting matchup with the Nuggets. And we don't always talk about depth in the playoffs because mostly it's your starters. But the Timberwolves really do have more proven depth than the Nuggets. Like, if there were to be an advantage Minnesota, I would put my place in that. It's really hard to go against the Nuggets, and they are the standard. But watching this Minnesota team just throttle the Suns the way they did makes me believe a little bit more. I was very tentative in January to think, could this Timberwolves team be the team that comes out of the West? And the fact that they unfortunately can't, I wish that we got a Western Conference Finals matchup between the Nuggets and the Timberwolves, honestly, because it feels like those should be the stakes around this, not in this round. But I will pick the Nuggets, but it would not surprise me if the Timberwolves did find a way to, at bare minimum, make it a series.
No doubt. Did you happen to see back here at home, I'm sure you did, you've probably talked about it, but Derrick Rose's son winning, I guess it was his first AAU championship with Ja Morant's team. How about that? How about that Memphis story?
I thought that was so sweet. I've been out of town. I'm in New York City. I've been here for the weekend.
Thank you for doing this.
Oh, of course. I'm sitting in the airport waiting to come home to Memphis this afternoon. But I saw so many Derrick Rose jerseys while I was out and about this week, which was very fun to see between Derrick Rose and Jalen Brunson. Those were the two biggest jersey reps in my viewpoint here in New York. But seeing the picture of Derrick Rose and Ja and his son, I thought was so special. And it goes back to the the exit interviews for the Grizzlies, where Derrick Rose really reflected on, like, one of the best things about coming to Memphis was his son and his son having this relationship with Ja and being on his AAU team. And it's such a quintessential, like, familial element to the Grizzlies, which feels special. I'm sure it happens in other places somewhere, but the fact that it's Derrick Rose in Memphis and this, like, kind of storybook-esque chapter for him to come back. And I know the season didn't go the way that anyone would have preferred, and he would have liked to have been able to play more, and I know he's not retiring and all of that coming out of that. But seeing the family side of it, I think, is just really special and just a cool little moment.
I'm with you. That's cool. You mentioned seeing all the Brunson jerseys up there, too. I'm imagining, is New York just painted in blue and orange right now, and Stephen A. Smith screaming everywhere? I mean, they must be. They've got the 76ers on the ropes.
Yes, and this city feels as if they really, really believe. I have a lot of friends here, and a lot of their partners are Knicks fans, and they are just all in. And truly, and, you know, I kind of am too. The East just feels attainable. And that's crazy for a Knicks team that is without Julius Randle. But I look at the Celtics, and yes, it looks like they're going to be able to take care of the Heat, although I still think it would have been the funniest thing for non-Celtics fans if the Heat had somehow found a way to win this first-round matchup. But you look at the Kristaps Porzingis injury, how is that going to affect this team the rest of the way? And I struggle to believe that a Celtics team without Kristaps Porzingis remains as heavy of a favorite in the East, and it just feels open with, you know, everything that Joel Embiid's going on, how that's affected the Sixers, with everything with Giannis and Damian Lillard with the Bucks. That appears like the Pacers are going to be able to take off with that series, perhaps. And so there is a door open for the New York Knicks, and thanks to the leadership of Jalen Brunson and just the tenacity of that team, they really do feel like they have a shot.
Yeah. Real quick, before I let you catch that flight, and I really appreciate you doing this, in terms of any disappointment whatsoever that the Tigers didn't get Jaden Quince, or is that going to end up maybe being a blessing in disguise?
From everything I've heard, it feels like a blessing in disguise, right? And maybe like a lesson learned, too, when in the past, you know, you chase after the biggest name, but maybe there's some problems behind that affects team chemistry and locker rooms. Oh, yeah. And all that. And so you're able to just kind of look from the outside. And it's not as if they haven't been able to load up on some really great players and getting a lot of these transfers. And so taking an L on one who could potentially have been maybe someone who was great on the court but didn't fit perfectly in the team building aspect of it, I think you see it as a win and you just move on.
I'm with you. And Musa Cisse's still out there. You know, yeah. You'd be down for a return of Musa, wouldn't you?
I covered Musa Cisse in high school.
That's right.
It's just like, how is he still around?
Oh, I know. It doesn't make any sense. And he's still got to get eligible, but it does sound like it's Oklahoma State or Memphis, which is crazy. Yeah. But he could go back to one of two former schools. And he spent 2 years at Oklahoma State after Memphis, which is just a weird deal. You know, it's crazy now with the with all the transfers and everything else, the extra COVID year, the eligibility. Can't keep up. You're right. Feels like he should be about, you know, 25, 26 years old right now in college eligibility. Jess, thank you so much for doing this, especially
from
up here. Absolutely.
Oh, of course.
Safe travels back. We appreciate you.
Thank you. Yep. See you guys later.
Yep.
Bye.
See you. She is Jessica Benson. Check her out weekday mornings on The Jessica Benson Show with CJ Hurd at GrindCityMedia.com and on the Grizz pre- and post-game shows during the season. You can follow her on X at Jess Benson TV. She's as excited, I could hear it in her voice, about that Minnesota-Denver series as I am. I'll be honest with you. I didn't think I'd be excited about much of anything when it came to these playoffs. Like, right. I'll watch playoffs that don't include the Grizzlies, obviously, but I didn't think I'd be up for them. I'm going to be tuning in Saturday, like locked in, tuned in, because you're getting an Anthony Edwards that, I mean, my gosh, I mean, we played the audio yesterday. Just wants to kill everything in front of him, but also seems to understand too that it, you know, I've got to pick my spots here. He's already, we talked about sort of the comparison to Michael Jordan and how he already seems to get that I've got to have my teammates with him. Anytime you hear him talking, he's shouting out the teammates first and everything else before his performances. They seem poised. There's another level, clearly, and Denver is there. And so there's going to be an adjustment to that. Like, you know, what you've done is not nearly the task that's about to be in front of you. And you're clearly underdogs in the series. We mentioned that first game right now, the early line. I think Denver favored by 5.5 in game one. I think before these playoffs, I would have said, if you told me these two were going to match up, oh, man, no problem. Denver's going to roll. But based on what I saw out of that series and how poised they were, and like Jessica talks about, it's not just, you know, Anthony Edwards being a force on defense. He's blocking Devin Booker, dunk attempts and everything else. It's their length. Like, Jaden McDaniels, she mentioned Nikhil Alexander-Walker, not to mention Rudy Gobert. Like, it's legit good defense they're playing. You wonder, I mean, you know, you're going to have Chris Finch in some form, so you don't figure you're going to be missing your head coach there in any kind of significant way. But yeah, I'm up for that series. Like, not as exciting as it would be, obviously, if it was the Grizzlies. But that the Western Conference playoffs, for the most part, pretty appealing.
And unlike the East, it's not an injury-plagued series like New York's experience with Philadelphia down, or Indiana's experience with Milwaukee,
injuries
who's without
ravaged,
their star, and then you've got a team.
Conference.
Yeah. You've got a team like Minnesota that's loaded up, and you've got a team, not short of Murray, maybe battling through here, but still being able to score, that it should match up well.
Yeah, it should. I'm looking forward to that. We got a whole lot more to do here as we wrap up hour number one on the other side of this break. We'll talk about Paul Feinbaum's appearance, what he said about Memphis. There was some Musa Cisse news. He actually tweeted something last night that I think is relevant to the situation with his being in the transfer portal. We'll talk about that. We'll do it when we get back. You're listening to Jason John, 929 FM ESPN.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All-star closer Kenley Jansen, we have a question.
What's the best podcast of all time?
Baseball isn't boring, baby.
I'm Rob Bradford, and every single day I'm sitting down with the biggest names to show you this great game is the greatest game. It's my podcast. It's my passion. It's a cause I started more than 2 years ago and is now the most prolific national daily baseball pod there is. Another fact, so jump aboard the BIB Express. Follow and listen to Baseball Isn't Boring, presented by Wasabi Hot Cloud Storage on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.